Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 3. You might be wondering what this chair is up here. I will be explaining that toward the end of the message. There is a possibility that I have a couple of cousins watching right now. So if they're here, Rhonda and Carol, it's good to have you here. I don't know, they might be joining us later on. But again, you'll see why. I hope and pray that this is a blessing. You know how it is sometimes you'll read a passage and it's like, wait a minute, I gotta back up. There's something the Lord has laid on my heart about this passage. There's something going on here. That's one of those that when it comes to this Mother's Day, that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. I hope it is a blessing for you, for all of us, and that it tells us something, and especially something for mothers. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, now as we stop, we have your word open. We are told by your word that it will not return void. We are told that the entrance of your word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. And I pray, especially on this day, that you would speak to the ladies here. We thank you, Lord, for the ladies, the godly ladies, and what they do, and all that they have done for us in the ministry here at the church. I could think of especially of the time when we have the two-minute warning. There are so many that are here and they have just given. And then when we do the missions projects, and Lord, there's so much, even in just weekly ministry. Thank you for them. And I pray that there would be indeed a special blessing for them. So Lord, ask that you would guide, your will be done, and Lord, may you be glorified this day. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. You know, I have really, there's so much, and I'm not going to take the time to explain it, but when the Lord lays a passage on your heart, there's so much that can sometimes happen when you're preaching and you're teaching and you're going through the Word of God. For instance, a couple of weeks ago when we were in the book of Job, I think we learned so much with that. First of all, there was Job. Then there was the woman at the well, but with Job, you know how the Lord waited patiently for Job's friends. They did all they could to paint him into the corner, confessing whatever sin, you know, he must have just committed. I mean, he just did. By the way, did mom ever come to you and say, I know you did this? And you're saying, I didn't. How many of you are confessing right now that you really did? Yep, here we go. When it comes to Job, he's hearing this from his three friends. And then when they couldn't convince him, here came Elihu. And he piped up until the Lord told him to pipe down. But from there, the Lord took Job. And he took him through a journey regarding God's creation and God's character. He led him from merely professing his depravity to confessing God's glory. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. If we just do this, if all we do is go to God and say, yeah, Lord, I sinned, I confess that, we've missed something. If we haven't seen he who confess in our confession, he forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Then there was the woman at the well. It was a deliberate outreach by the Lord. When the Lord came to that well and that Samaritan woman came as well, it's amazing what happened. Two simple requests. Give me to drink and go call thy husband. Those two requests did such, that, well, let's put it this way. They led to such an incredible, marvelous work in that lady's heart. And it's not just that lady, but then what took place in her city as well. There were two startling declarations that were given by Christ. The first one, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And then when the Lord said to her, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And again, the Lord opened her eyes. I'm praying that the Lord is going to open our eyes here. I believe God has shown me something in this study, and I want to share it with you. We're in 1 Kings chapter 3. Would you please look at verse 16? Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight, and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. The other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no way slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. This is what happened, and follow me on this. As I study and understand, thinking about how the Word of God is written, and the God of the Word, how He directs. Like other stories, when it comes to what you really get out of this, came down with this. This passage is not primarily about the two women who bear the children. Now, true enough, there's a drama, there's emotions that are going on, there are things that have happened here. I understand that. And praise God, you know, when you look at it, there is one big stake in this, and that is the life of this living son, the one that is left. But that's not the focus. There's also Solomon. And he's not the main focus either. Now, he exercised an ability beyond himself, which is true. And because of what took place here, his fame traveled far and wide. But again, it's not primarily about him. Look at verse 28. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, watch this, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. The major prominence in this account is God and the wisdom he gave Solomon. We have to remember this. The Bible was written not for our glory, but for his. We come to him. We need him. God doesn't need us. And in every account, in every way, when we see this, this is what we see. God has interceded, he has loved, he has cared for, he has saved those that will come to him. That's what it's all about. That's what we wind up having here. Why did people fear the king? Very simple. Because there awakened in him the fear of God, of the God of the king. I want to do a little background here, if we could please. Go back, if you would, to verse 5. Verse 5 in 1 Kings 3. This is what's taken place. David, the king, has died. David, Solomon's father. Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. God had certainly done that, and now he has prevailed. And now, O Lord my God, Solomon prays, thou hast made thy servant, you've made me king instead of David my father, and I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Once again, I want us to see this. God guides in every generation. He guides in the affairs of men. And he does this for one reason. Even today, God glorifies himself. By the way, in the year 2019 and beyond, God will continue to glorify himself. We need to just see what's going on, and I'm going to be mentioning some of that next week. But we need to see that. See, mankind needs salvation. Yeah, it's amazing what God opens up to you. I gave my wife a wonderful birthday present yesterday. By the way, my wife and I now are the same age, 38. But sometimes you got to do what you do, for your wife. You go out and you have dinner, and then after you have dinner, You go to a car lot. Because you know, you just know that your wife wants to look at cars, vehicles, right? So I don't know why. I mean, we pulled into CarMax. You know, we were up there in Roseville. And, you know, it's just amazing what God does. We started talking to a young lady, and it turned out that this was a God moment. And I'm not going to go into all the detail, but she made a profession of salvation. And we looked at each other. She looked at us and said, "You were here for me." Praise God for that. See, all through time, God has guided in the affairs of mankind. And this is what got me going in this passage, because knowing this, when you look in your Bible and you recognize that the Lord guides, just the very same way Jesus must needs go through Samaria, he winds up guiding, and he guides in order, again, to glorify himself. But, in the glorifying of himself, when God shows up, he can pull out of people's hearts that which he has put there for a reason. As we're going to see right now, I want you to know something. God is in the business of knowing and bringing to light the hearts of mankind. Do you hear that? Even in this day, remember this. Jeremiah 17:10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins." Maybe some of you had your reins tried even this last week. Maybe even this morning. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to his doings. 1 Samuel 16:7, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Psalm 7:9, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end," David wrote, "but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." And then Proverbs 17:3, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." So, what is it that took place in this chapter? The first thing I want us to see, a work of God through the wisdom of God, a work of God through the wisdom of God was manifested to a nation. Because in verse 28, we're told, you know, this traveled all over Israel, what Solomon had done. "Through this act, a king's ability to serve was greatly strengthened." Man, Solomon, God has given him his wisdom. "The king's throne was significantly established." But then also, "The marks of a precious mother's heart was revealed," all through the wisdom of God. This was not an accident that took place. God moves again in the affairs of people. You ever notice when you read through the Old Testament, and yes, even in the New Testament, God will take sinners and glorify himself in bringing them to himself, or even like Pharaoh, using them for his glory, even though Pharaoh hardened his heart. But here again, this is what one of the things I'm trying to get to. You see, when these two women showed up, there was already one thing that was there: the wisdom of God. It was in Solomon, but it was the wisdom of God. Do I have you so far? Are we good? Okay. "As much as God revealed his work in creation to Job and to the Samaritan woman, he did so through Solomon." And the response of one of these young mothers, "He did it." God reveals, remember this, God reveals that a true mother's heart, in a true mother's heart, there is a display of three things. And I want you to notice these just briefly. Number one, in a true mother's heart, love. Look at verse 26. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. I'm going to be giving you two other things, but I want you to notice this. That love that she had is the foundation for the other two. The Lord knew the situation before it would take place. The situation was prepared for this woman to come and show her true mother's heart. She conceived the child in sin. She was a harlot. The other one was as well. But that doesn't matter in this situation. She's coming to the king. She wants to do the right thing, as we'll see. Listen, Satan has attacked so many designs and characteristics of God's creation. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? But I think one of the worst is when he attacks women and gets them to think more about themselves than the precious child, the separate human life that is within them. When Satan gets women to do that, gets them convinced that it's not a child, it's a POC, product of conception. That's wicked. That's wicked. And once again, let me say this, please, because I never know who it is I'm talking to. God forgives sin. Amen? Amen. Yes. He forgives abortion as well. But I can't help but think, forgive me for maybe, I don't know how much in the flesh I'm getting into. But I'm telling you, when you see an abortionist and they gleefully get into this, you know that one out of every three children that are conceived in this nation are aborted? One in three. Let that sink in. Why has America lasted as long as it has? Number one, there was love. Number two, there was protection. Again, go back to verse 26. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. Her heart cried out for the life of her son. Once again, stop and consider what's going on here. The other woman didn't feel like that. She didn't, you know, that's when it came to the life of the child. Stop and think about what's taking place here. She is willing. She is going to be willing to do something incredible. This mother, whose son is still alive, is displaying what God has placed in the heart of a true mother. Often when we talk of life, we speak of eternal life, and that is a joy. But think of life, period. Has there ever been a time, you know, that you would, you know, why was I born? I mean, we see that with Job. But you know, the fact of the matter is, life is wonderful. And the sad thing is when we see lives that are wasted. How many of you, your hearts break when you see somebody on the street, they have been on drugs, you can't talk to them. There have been people that have come to this church, and it seems like there's just no way in reaching them. They can't understand what you're trying to say. A wasted life is a horrible thing. Keep your finger there in 1 Kings. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 8 with me? Proverbs chapter 8. In thinking about what is going on today, and in thinking about what we're going to be reading here, in Proverbs 8, look at verse 32. The wisdom of God, speaking of wisdom, the wisdom of God is personified. Wisdom is speaking. God's wisdom is speaking as a person. And his wisdom says this. Look at verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Watch this. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. When you see the people today that are clamoring for abortion, there came a time they despised the wisdom of God. When you see people today that are clamoring for assisted suicide, which always oversteps, and in so many other ways, drugs that lead to death, lifestyle that leads to death, all they that hate me love death. By the way, be careful if you find yourself tempted to vote for somebody that loves death. And all God's people better say, amen. I fear that there are professing Christians that will have blood on their hands because of what they have promoted in this nation. That was free. Let's move on. Go back if you would. There's love, there's protection, and then there's sacrifice. Go again back to verse 26. She said, O my Lord, give her the living child. As much as Hannah gave up her son Samuel for the Lord's work, this woman was willing to allow another to rear her son as hers, even though she lied, number one, about her son that she killed, and she would allow him, going to him, saying, he's yours, you can bring him up like yours, and I'll step away. That is sacrifice. Love, protection, sacrifice. Think of it. This woman was willing to do things. Watch me now. God puts it there in the mother's heart. And the way that is drawn out is with the wisdom of God. You see, here came God working through Solomon. And because of that, here is a woman that is given a scenario where she is able to come before God's man, the king. And she says, please, you got to help me. I want us to take down two things if we could. Take down two things. First, we need God's wisdom. We need it today as much as Solomon needed it. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need God's wisdom because there are going to be situations where we need that kind of wisdom that Solomon had in seemingly difficult situations. We need to be able to divide and discern. Again, like I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But secondly, we're told by Scripture that these last days will drain the love of God that God has given us. The Lord said in Matthew 24, verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, The love of many shall wax cold. The word wax there, it's an old Saxon word. It just means it shall become more and more. If you look up Barnes, who does a great job in his commentaries, especially in the New Testament, he says, really, he feels that what Christ was saying here alluded more to the difficulties through the situations that Christians would find themselves as the centuries progressed, how they would be persecuted by the world. And because of that, the love for Christ and the love for his ministry would begin to fade and begin to just kind of grow less and less. This woman showed the love that a true mother has. God's wisdom exposed it. God's wisdom will help us in exposing it as well. How many of you have been affected by the love of God through a mother or a grandmother? Raise your hand. I wanted to tell the story of this chair right here. This was Granny's chair. This was my mom's chair. That's Granny and Papaw right there. That's why I'm Papaw. My mom and dad got to dating. Dad was 6 years older than Mom. Mom was 17, Dad was 23, and he was not a Christian. Granny knew it. Mom knew it. Mom kept dating him. And Granny went to work in that chair right there. And she did what she did best. She prayed. Oh, my soul, did she pray. That woman was a prayer. Big time. It was the Sunday before my parents were going to get married. Dad was there. We say Concord. See, over there in Alabama, they say Concord. It's like the word Martinez. You don't go to Martinez, Georgia. You go to Martinez, Georgia. They just don't know how to speak English down there. It was Concord Baptist Church. The pastor preached, and in that message was salvation. Dad was there with Mom. They sang all the verses of Just As I Am. My dad took me to this pew, and his fingers just dug in. I am not going. And the pastor at the end of it all said, I believe God has just told me that we need to sing one more verse. That's all it took. Granny was there. Mom was there. Dad went forward. He got saved. My dad read his Bible through 2.5 times the first year after he got saved. This chair is so precious to us. And because of my mom, we got it. Granny went to be with the Lord sitting in that chair. She was reading her Bible. And the Lord said, come home. I love having somebody like that in my background. Don't you love it when God puts somebody who has the wisdom of God and the heart of God to pray for you? It very well could be that there's somebody here that's getting prayed for. It very well could be that there's somebody here, you're praying for somebody. By the way, you might not even be the mom or the grandma, but you're praying for somebody. God specializes in hearing prayers. When you get to preach a message like this, often we'll go after illustrations. And all the illustrations that I have used in time past, this one is one of my favorites. About 100 years ago, a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll, he was a skeptic, he was notorious, he made fun of Christians, He made fun of religion. He made fun of the Bible. When he was in his heyday, there were two college students that went to hear him speak. As they were walking down the street after his lecture, one of them said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out from underneath Christianity, didn't he?" And the other young man said, "I don't think so." Ingersoll didn't explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. That's a godly mother. One where there is love, protection, and sacrifice found. I wonder if the Lord in His wisdom placed us in a situation where we needed the wisdom of God like Solomon did that day, what would our response be? Because there are people, just like my wife and I found last night, there are people out there, once again, that are hurting. And they need some place that has the wisdom of God. Someone. Let's pray.